Welcome to the second podcast in this series from the Women's Health and Equality Consortium. In this podcast, Zoe Palmer, manager of the Women's Health and Equality Consortium, will talk about how women's voluntary and community sector organisations can engage with the new health and care system. For more details about what the new health system looks like, listen to our first podcast.
Since the Health and Social Care Act came into effect in April 2013, there have been big changes to health and care structures, funding arrangements, and accountabilities. Zoe, why is it so important for women's organisations to engage with the new health system?
The government has said that the reforms to health and social care will include the voluntary sector as a provider of health services, a source of support for commissioning, and a partner in tackling health inequalities. Women form half the community and have specific health needs which need to be identified to make sure health services are effective. It's really important that women's organisations feed their knowledge into decision-making processes as they provide vital services for women's well-being and have a wealth of intelligence about women's needs.
How should women's organisations feed the voices of women into decision-making at local level?
Firstly, it's important to get an understanding of who the new decision-makers are in your local area. Find out who the members of your health and wellbeing board are and who the lay members of the clinical commissioning group are. If your organisation works across more than one locality, you may want to look at the health and wellbeing boards and CCGs from each of the areas that you work in.
Once women's organisations have identified these people, how should they go about getting involved?
There are a number of different ways to get involved. The first thing to do is find out what forums already exist to support women's organisations to feed their views and perspectives. The local authority may be conducting engagement events or consultations. There may be a local network of women's organisations or a violence against women and girls forum which you could get involved with. Or you may find that the local voluntary service council is represented on the health and wellbeing board. It's often a good idea to approach new decision makers and commissioners collectively, and local forums and networks can support this.
How can women's organisations ensure the needs of the women are being addressed?
Health and wellbeing boards are crucial in deciding on what issues are prioritised in each area. They undertake a joint strategic needs assessment, or JSNA, to assess the needs of the local community, work out which services are working well, and identify any gaps. JSNAs will look at specific groups who may face particular poor health, and they'll also look at the wider issues that affect people's health, such as crime and housing. JSNAs are very important in deciding the local priorities and what services need to be commissioned in that area by the NHS, social care and public health. The JSNA is used to inform the local health and wellbeing strategy, which explains what actions will be taken to address the issues that are identified in the JSNA.
How can women's organisations influence their JSNA?
The JSNA needs to be based on evidence. This can be data collected by local statutory agencies or evidence collected from local voluntary and community sector organisations. Evidence also collected by the local health watch or other sorts of data. The JSNA needs to engage local communities to ensure that the voices of the public feeds into this process. Many women's organisations will have a wealth of intelligence about issues, needs and what services work for women and where there are gaps. They have important information both as a provider of services and as a means of feeding women's voices into the JSNA process. Many women's organisations can enable JSNAs to hear from women who would otherwise be difficult for local decision makers to engage with. It's a good idea to look at your local JSNA and consider whether or not it demonstrates a good understanding of the needs of women living in your area. If the JSNA has identified priorities that your organisation is working on, you may want to offer to get involved to support this work.
How else can women's organisations raise health issues at local level?
The drafting of JSNAs should be an ongoing process, so it's a good idea to ask about how you can input into the process of updating it. Women's organisations can approach members of the Health and Wellbeing Board to ask how they are taking women's health needs into account and how they are engaging with their local communities. Women's organisations can also look for opportunities to demonstrate to commissioners the importance of their service for women's health and wellbeing.
How can women's organisations engage members of the Health and Wellbeing Board?
It's important that you find out who chairs your Health and Wellbeing Board, and you may want to consider writing to them to introduce your organisation and how you support women's health and wellbeing. You can also contact the new Local Health Watch, who have a responsibility to champion the voice of local people and feedback issues to the Health and Wellbeing Board. The Director of Public Health is responsible for the well-being of the local population and for tackling health inequalities, so you may be able to share important information about health issues faced by particular groups of women. Local elected councillors have a new role in raising issues on health and well-being, and CCGs also sit on the Health and Wellbeing Board and must align their commissioning plans with the JSNA.
Are there any other tools women's groups can use to influence and be involved?
There are a number of levers to use. All members of the board are subject to the public sector equality duty and have a duty to engage with their community. You can find out more information about the duty, what it is and how to use it on the Women's Resource Centre's website. There's also the Local Compact, which is an agreement between local decision makers and the voluntary sector. The commitment and principles in the compact can be an important way to promote partnership working, and it may be important to make sure the new health agencies reaffirm their commitment to the compact. For more information, visit the Compact Voice website or your local authority's website. The Equality Delivery System is a framework that rates NHS organisations against equality outcomes. It helps all NHS organisations ensure it meets its legal requirements to promote equality and tackle discrimination. You should be able to find out what your CCG is doing around the Equality Delivery System on their website. You can also approach your CCG and ask them directly what action they're taking around the Equality Delivery System. At a national level, there's useful guidance from the Department of Health on how to influence JSNAs, and WEC has also produced a guide on this, which is available on the WEC website. NICE produces a range of guidance and standards for care on a number of issues, which may offer useful information about good practice and what health and care services should be doing. WEC also produces a monthly newsletter that gives updates on health and policy developments, so please subscribe on our website if you haven't already done so.
Thank you, Zoe. It is really important women's voices are heard in the new health and care system, so please do engage where you can, and if you need any support, contact WEC, who support women's organisations to ensure women's voices are heard.
This podcast was made by WEC in March 2014. For more information, please visit our website, www.whec.org.uk.